The Blessings of Serving the Lord in Ministry is a ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Virginia Sisk. Mrs. Sisk has served faithfully by her husband's side in ministry for several decades. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
God is good, isn't he? But this afternoon, my topic is the blessings of ministry. And I hope that I can share a few things with you that have been blessings in my life and in the life of my husband and I, our ministry over these 50-something years. And let's open our Bibles to Genesis number 12, 1 and 3. While you're finding that, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, even though it's hot and we don't particularly like the hot weather, but we thank you that you provide everything that we need, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes. Thank you for each and every lady that's come this evening to the session. I pray that you will bless their lives, and I know this has been a busy week for them, and many of them have traveled far to come to this conference, and I pray that this afternoon you will help them to have a special blessing from you. And Lord, help me to say the things that you would have me to say and to share with these ladies blessings that you have given me in our ministry. And bless the session now and your word as we read it and teach it this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I'd like to ask you, though, how many of you have been in the ministry, say, 10 years or less? 10 years or less, okay. How many of you been in 20 years and less? Okay. How many 20 and more? Okay, a few of us. Okay, how many of you are in the ministry and you're in your 20s? Okay, a few of you. I was once there a long time ago. My husband and I started out in the ministry when we were in our 20s, just right out of high school and then to college. So that's when God called my husband to preach. So, okay, in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we find God talking to Abraham about some blessings. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we see in these verses here, God is, when he called Abraham, he told him that I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And you know why God blessed Abraham is because he obeyed him. And he was willing to go and do whatever God told him to do. So in this passage, we find a great principle. God blesses the people that they may be a blessing to others. Notice the statement, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. If you're in the ministry, you should count it as a blessing. So how many of you today count it a blessing that God has called your husband and you into the ministry? I'd be first to raise my hand, because I'm so thankful that God called my husband, even though we were so young and green and ignorant, so many things, when God called us. But we were just, I don't know, not learned enough that we just did what God told us to do. And that was that he wanted him to be a preacher. And notice in 1 Timothy, you want to turn there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, we find what Paul said about God, the Lord calling him into the ministry. And he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So we see Paul here said, you know, he was thanking God that he had called him into the ministry. And Paul was just a man that persecuted Christians. He was not a Christian for a while in his life until God saved him, but he was persecuting the Christians because he didn't know God. And after he got saved, he went everywhere preaching and teaching and showing God's love to the people. And so some of us, before we were saved, we were, of course, sinners, blasphemers, persecutors. We didn't love church. We didn't love God. But after we were saved and put into the ministry, we are able then to do what God wants us to do. Near the end of his life, he looked back. This is Paul on the ministry to which God had called him. He could have thought about all the hardships that he had endured. He had been rejected by his family. He had been scourged 5 times. He had been stoned to the point of death. He suffered physically. He had great responsibilities. He was misunderstood by his fellow workers. And we can all say that too, can't we? When we told our friends and people that we were going to be in the ministry, many of them didn't understand, and they were critical of us, and they misunderstood and really did not want to have much to do with us, especially if they were our sinful friends. Rather than thinking about all these things, he was giving thanks to God for allowing him to be in the ministry. He was expressing the blessings of the ministry. So after we get saved and God puts us in the ministry, we have that privilege of giving God thanks for everything he's done for us. So in November of 1954, my husband and I, we were living in Indiana, Gary, Indiana, and we had been there a couple of years in a very good church, similar to Lancaster Baptist Church. They preached the word. The pastor was very energetic in his preaching. He was a soul winner. And so we were in this good church for about 2 years. And so on a Thanksgiving night in 1954, my husband went forward in that church service and made known to the church that God was calling him to be a preacher. And in the next week then, our pastor sent him out to preach his first sermon. We look back now and think, laugh at so many things that we did that was so stupid. And I have no idea what he said in that first sermon, because I was scared to death. We either one knew the Word of God that good, you know. We had been saved for a few years, but we had not really grown in the Lord. And it was not until we went to this church that we began to attend regularly to church and begin to give up things in our lives, you know, that we were doing that weren't bad, but they weren't good for a Christian to do. So we had just begun to grow. And when Don said God was calling him to be a preacher. So in a few weeks later, I felt that I should go forward and make a commitment to God and to my husband that if God had called him to be a preacher, then I wanted to be a good preacher's wife. I wanted to be the helpmeet that he would need, and I didn't want to hinder his ministry, but I just wanted to be along beside him and doing whatever God would have him to do. So on that night that I went forward, I dedicated my life to God. I want to be the best wife that I can to help God be the best man or the best preacher that God would have him to be. That was 56 years ago. During those 56 years, we've had many trials. There have been many disappointments. There's been some suffering. However, from the depth of my heart, I can say that the blessings have outnumbered the problems and the trials. As John often says, if I had it to do over again, I would. And I can say I would too. I would marry him again. Even though when I married him, he was not a preacher. When I was in junior high, I used to walk by my pastor's house in Kentucky when I was in a junior high girl. And every Monday morning, this lady, preacher's wife, this was before the days of automatic washers and dryers, on a Monday afternoon when I would come from school, going home, on her clothesline she had 6 or 7 white shirts hanging out on the line to dry. And I used to laugh and say, I never want to marry a preacher. Look what you got to do. Wash white shirts and iron them. Praise the Lord, now we have automatic washers and dryers and firmer press or wrinkle-free and all of those good things. But truly and from my heart, I could say I would do it over again, because even though there's trials and heartaches and disappointments many times in the ministry, the blessings always outweigh those, don't they? So this afternoon, let's notice some of the blessings of the ministry. And I think you have your papers there. The first one is the peace that God gives when you are obedient in the ministry. The peace that God gives when you are obedient or submissive. There is great joy just knowing that you are where God desires for you to be, and that you are doing what God desires for you to do. In Philippians 4:4-7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And there's that word, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when we're obedient and submissive, we can have that peace of God. The peace of leaving, and also in Isaiah, there, if you want to jot this scripture verse down too, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I think that's another good verse to help us in this. And I might say that you also can have peace, like when we, God called my husband to preach, and we said, well, we need to go back to Kentucky where we can, we knew of a Bible college there that we could, he could enroll in, but that meant we would be giving up his job in Indiana, and that we'd be going back and we wouldn't have a job. And some of you probably have experienced this with your husband going into the ministry, that you didn't have a job when you felt like you needed to go somewhere, or God had called you somewhere. So you had to find that peace that comes from God. And so we prayed much about that, and we found the peace of God about leaving Indiana and going back to Kentucky to go to school. And and then you have the peace about leaving your family and friends and a good church, like that was a good church we were attending in Indiana, and we had friends there, and Don's family lived there, so that meant we would be leaving them and going back to Kentucky. But I had family in Kentucky, so it wasn't all bad. But anyways, we found that peace that God has for you when you surrender your all to Him and when you're obedient to Him. And in the midst of disappointment, you can have peace. You know, when everything don't go right and you are disappointed in maybe a family member or your spouse or people in the ministry or even friends, you can find the peace of God even in these disappointments and in those times. You can also have the peace of God because you know where God wants you to be and that you're doing what He wants you to do. And you don't understand what's going on sometimes, but He does. And then in the midst of sufferings, there is hope, and you can have peace. You can have peace when you're going through sickness in your family or in your, like your parents or something. We have gone through suffering with all of my husband's parents and my parents who are all gone to heaven now. But we went through those times, but we found God's peace was sufficient. His grace was sufficient. And then maybe in your ministry, you will have wonderful people who are suffering, or maybe you have people in your church now who are going through great sufferings. And you can be a help to them in telling them and reading them God's Word, and showing them that God is able to give them peace through all of these heartaches and sufferings that they're going through. And then the blessings of knowing the presence of God. We find the story of Moses, the promise to Moses. And, of course, you go through the Bible, you'll find out so many people in the Bible that God's presence was with them. Of course, we know, I guess the most famous was Moses, because he was on the mountain with God and the Ten Commandments and so many wonderful things God showed Moses. And he was right there with Moses, and he could even see His presence. We don't see the presence of God, but we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and we can have the presence of God that way. But in Exodus 3:10 and 12, it says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, thy children Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly, I will be with thee." So in this scripture verse here, we find that God said, "Moses, you go and do what, you be obedient to what I tell you to do, and I'll be with you." And that's true with us today. If we are obedient and submissive to God's leadership in our lives, God has promised that He'll be with us. So in your ministries, ladies, you just be the obedient wife that you're supposed to be to your husband. And as he follows God and His leadership, and you can depend on the presence of God to be with you every day of your life. And I know that from experience. God is so good. And He has been so real so many times in my life. Just everyday things. Not big things so much, but just everyday little things in life that you can know the presence of God. Just remember that God's presence and the blessings of His presence will be with you every day of your life when you are obedient and willing to follow His leadership. Not only Moses was to know the presence of God, but there was David. You remember the shepherd boy David? He felt God's presence all the time as a shepherd boy, and even when he was the king of Israel. In Psalm 16:11, he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy." So when we have that presence of God, we can have the joy of the Lord. We can be happy in the Lord because we know His presence is with us. And then be His promise to us as individuals. In Matthew 28:19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you." That's a personal promise. I am with you, not with this nation or with this group of people, but I am with you, an individual promise from God that He is going to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3 and 6, says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." So when we acknowledge God as who He is and who He is the Savior of our life and He is the King of our life, and if we just acknowledge Him in that way, He has promised that He will direct our paths and our steps every day. So, ladies, I just know that you know, and probably many of you could tell me experiences that you've had where the presence of God was so real and that you knew God was there. And then number three, the blessings of converts. And this is my husband's favorite scripture verse in all the Bible, I guess. Whenever he signs a Bible, he always puts this verse down. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth reaping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And this blessing comes from you being able to be a soul winner and going out and telling other people about Christ. I wrote down here, people in the early days of our ministry, that was back when my husband started pastoring. He started pastoring two small churches at the same time. They were rural churches, and they called him without even hearing him preach. That's unheard of today, but back in those days, back in the early 50s and 60s, sometimes this happened. And so we were, like I said, we were just in our early 20s, and these two rural churches, precious people, and they just took us in as like their grandchildren. Most of them were older. They could have been old enough to be our parents, our grandparents, but they took us in like that. And in those early days, we were able to see people saved in those little rural areas. And so that was a blessing in our ministry. And of course, you start someplace in the ministry. So that was a good place for us to start, in these little rural areas. And they didn't pay us a lot of money. We went to one of them twice a month, and the other two Sundays. First and third Sunday at one, second, fourth Sunday at the next church. So I think in all we got about $100 a month. That was our salary. And my husband was driving back and forth to college, and I was at home. I did not work at that time. He worked on Saturdays at my brother-in-law's service station. And so that was our total income for about two or three years. And then I think after 3 years, he was called to a much larger, a little bit larger church, wasn't that much bigger. But anyways, but in the churches that we were ministering in, we were able to see people saved. And that's true of your ministry. You can have the blessings of seeing people saved almost daily or weekly or however you're able to get out and do soul winning. And then converts from our time in Japan. In 1964, we were approved as missionaries to Japan. And in 65, in January 65, we went to Japan. And we were able to start a church there. And most of you were in the service last night and saw Brother Ogawa and his wife. They were some of our converts. In fact, Brother Ogawa was one of our first converts in Japan. And I think that first year in Japan, my husband baptized 80-something people, 80-something converts. And that was just unheard of because nobody else, no other missionaries had been able to have that kind of results. And so we know that's a blessing from God. I mean, not it wasn't anything that my husband did. It was just God using him and just sending the people our way. And we are still seeing the results from those first Christians that we were able to lead to the Lord in Japan, and still growing there. And so then there are converts as we travel from place to place that, of course, right now my husband, you know, is still very, very active in ministry. In 2002, I guess it was, when he retired from being the president and general director at BIMI, he said he was retiring. And I was really happy about that, you know. Oh, he's going to retire. We're not going to travel all the time. And we're going to be able just to go see our kids and our family whenever we get ready to. But I didn't know that he and Dr. Chappell had been talking behind my back. And he had talked with Brother Chappell and Dr. Chappell several times about when he retired, about coming out here and teaching in the college. And so, well, you know, when we want to be obedient and be in the center of God's will, we do what our husbands say, don't we? Even though sometimes it's not what we would really, really maybe desire to do at that time. But, you know, God, after being out here the first year teaching and being around the students and being in Lancaster Baptist Church, has changed my whole life. And I'm really thankful that God led us out here. It's really the greatest place, and we have so many wonderful friends here, and they treat us like, I don't know, how do you say when you're treated like a king and queen? And we are just so thankful that we have this privilege to be here, and especially be grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and grandpa to so many students. And I say I can go about anywhere in America or overseas, and I can find grandkids and great-grandkids because of the mission work that we've been involved in all these years. And then of just now seeing the students that graduate from West Coast Baptist College scattered around the globe. And so there's so many blessings in the ministry. And ladies, don't miss out on those blessings. Just be there with your husbands and be involved in the ministry, that you can count these blessings that God has for you. They're not just for me and for Mrs. Houck and Mrs. Chappell and staff people. They're for everybody. If you're just willing to be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. And then D, converts who are faithfully serving the Lord. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That can be a blessing to your life too. When you lead someone to the Lord and they lead someone to the Lord and they lead someone to the Lord. See, that never runs out. It just keeps going and going. And last night when we saw Brother Ogawa, it's such a great joy to know that he and his family and his church and the many people that have been saved in his church are going out, and we just never see an end to that till you get to eternity. And, of course, we won't need it then, will we? We'll be in heaven. So there's a great joy in serving the Lord and being in the ministry. And then the blessings are the provision of the Lord. And also, I put by provisions, daily needs. God gives us so many daily needs, and these are blessings from His hand. He don't have to do that, but God is faithful. And when we serve Him, He will be no debtor to no one. He will bless you beyond measure when you are involved in what He wants you to do in the ministry. So Matthew 6:33 came to my mind when I was put this down as a blessing, the provisions as blessings. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things is just daily things that we need in our life. We need food, shelter, and clothing, and all these things. And when we do what God wants us to do in the ministry that He's called us in, then He's obligated to give us all these things. And He does. In this same chapter, He talks about the flowers and the birds, and He takes care of those. And He says, how much greater are you than these? And so He will. God is going to take care of you when you are in His will and doing what He wants you to do. And then the blessings of provisions that I've kind of wrote down here was during college, after leaving our job. I've already mentioned that God did provide for us. Don was able to work at my brother-in-law's service station, and then the churches called him right away. So we did. He did provide for us there, and I'm sure you've found that in your ministry, that when you give up something for the God to do His work, then He'll provide for you a way. He makes provisions for you. During our time in Japan, even though we did not have a lot of support, God still took care of us. Many times we would get unexpected gifts in the mail, or we would get a box from our parents. My mother and Don's mother was always sending us little care packages in the mail, and we could hardly wait to get those boxes and open them. And so in those boxes we would find some provisions that we needed. And I remember one time my mom sent me, it was supposed to have been a 2-pound bag of pinto beans. Now you say, living on the mission field and you wanted beans? Yes, Japan didn't have beans. So I asked my mom to send me some pinto beans. But when it got there, somehow it had gotten opened, and I had about a cup of beans left out of that hole. But we did have some pinto beans one time. Just different things like that happened in our lives while we were on the mission field, that God took care of us. And then the school, I don't think this was added on this paper, but school for our children in Japan, God made a provision for that. There was an English-speaking school there that we were able to send Renee and Tim to, and it was just a blessing, and that was a blessing of providing for us. And Renee was taking piano lessons when we went to Japan, and so when we got there, we knew that we would really need her to play the piano for us in our ministry. So she had not yet begun to learn hymn playing, and we thought, what will we do? Because she didn't know Japanese, and the Japanese piano teachers wouldn't know English to teach her. But just a month before we arrived in Japan, there was another missionary couple who went to Japan, and that was Odessa and Ron White. Some of you might know them, I don't know. But Ron White graduated from Tennessee Temple with a degree in music, piano playing. So they were going to be living about a half an hour from where we lived in Akashi, Japan. And so he was able to come once a week. On Friday nights, we got together as missionary family, And we folded tracks and we made preparation to go to the train stations and the bus stops and things on Saturday to pass out tracks. So Odessa and Ron would come to our house on Friday evenings, and he would give Renee a piano lesson. And so, God provided. And we were really concerned about that. But God knew, even before we got to Japan, that he would supply that need for us. So, and I'm sure you could tell me stories like that too. And then housing, God made there was a house came available, which was American style house. What I mean by that is it had an inside flush toilet. Not all houses in Japan at that time had inside flush toilets. So, so we were able to find a house. It wasn't very big, but it was big enough for us. Our two kids slept in the same room for a while, of course on separate beds, but same room. God supplied that house for us. We soon, as we began to learn Japanese, we were able to make friends with the Japanese people, and wonderful people they were and still are to us. And then God's protection, that's a blessing. We lived in Japan almost 10 years, and we had no problems with the government, no problems with people breaking in our homes or doing anything. And we've been broken in 3 times here in America. And in Japan, we never had a problem like that. So God's protection has been there. And then God provided a place for us to have our first church in Cindy Newtown. It was just a rented building, but God made provision for that, and that was certainly a blessing. And then as we began to have services and people got saved, He gave us workers for the church. And so as you begin your ministry, you'll find that God will give you workers. He'll save people in the area where you're ministering, and you'll have workers soon to help you out. And these are just some blessings that God gives us daily. And then, the Cindy Newtown Church was our first church and has always been such a great blessing. And God has miraculously provided for this church in so many ways. And then the blessings of seeing our children used by God in His ministry. While on the field, our children were very active. Like I say, Renee was learning to play the piano so that she could play hymns. She could play on Sundays for us when we had our services. Her and Tim went with us out knocking on doors and passing out tracts. And, of course, they attracted the Japanese to the church because they were Americans. And the kids would want to come to church just to see the American kids, you know. And they want to touch Tim's hair, you know. And he was just, it bothered him. But, you know, he was different. And so... But our children and your children can be a blessing to you in your ministry. Our children were also a help because the place we rented, we had to set it up every Sunday morning, clean it up and set up the tables and chairs, put out the hymn books and all that. So when you start a new ministry, perhaps that's how you start. If you have a rented place, you have to go and clean it up and take care, get it ready for the service. So, this is what our children helped us to do. And during their college days, they were involved. They both went to Tennessee Temple back in the early days of Tennessee Temple schools and were very active in the work there at college. And then the call into ministry. Both of our children were called to be missionaries. Both went back to the country of Japan. And... Renee and Tom were there. I think they've been there or have been there about 16 years. Renee and Tom live in Dayton, Ohio now, and they work with Japanese in Ohio. There are many, many Japanese factories and places in that area that they are able to have a ministry there. Our daughter twice a week teaches ladies Bible studies in Japanese to Japanese ladies. On Saturdays she has a what she calls Joy Club, and she has a ministry with the kids. Her and her husband just returned from a month's visit in Japan, where they visited converts that had gone back to Japan, and they were able to visit them and help them to find a good church in Japan. And they were very excited about their trip and the things that they were able to see that the Japanese that have been saved are doing over there now. And I just talked to her today, and she said this Sunday night they have a meeting in their home with the Japanese. So they meet regularly with Japanese and are doing a good ministry with them. Our son Tim also went to Japan and was there, I think, 6 or 7 years. And then they came home for a furlough, and he went and visited Bolivia. And he came back from Bolivia, and he said, "I think God is calling me to Bolivia." And he said, "There's so much down there that could be done." And so he and his family went to Bolivia. And they were there, I don't remember if it's 6 or 7 years, but then, and of course they were in Japan also several years. But now they live in Wheaton, Illinois. Tim is the president of missions in Moody Bible Institute, and is very happy there with working with kids who want to be in full-time ministry, and especially in mission work. So I'm so thankful that God has saw fit to put our children in the ministry, not of anything that we've done. We just tried to bring them up to love the Lord and to do whatever God would want for their lives. And we're just thankful that God has used them over these years, and we pray that He will continue to use them. And I'm sure that's what you want for your children. You want God to use them in the ministry. And so in order to do that, we as parents need to be as faithful to follow the Lord in His calling on our lives, so that our children will see that we're willing to give up and do without some things in order to do God's will in our lives. And I think when children see that in the parents, then that causes them to want to live for the Lord and do what God wants them to do. And let me just say to you as ladies, we as ladies, we want to complain a lot of times and fuss about things if we don't get everything just the way we want it and have this or that, you know. We kind of are guilty of complaining and saying, well, you know, so-and-so has the ass and they have more than we do, and they have a better car and a better house. But when we as ladies do that, then we're causing our husbands not to be happy in the ministry, because they feel like they're not providing for us all the things that we think we want or need. So let's be very careful not to complain about what we have and what we don't have, and especially in front of our children, because we don't want them to think that God is not able to supply all the things that we need. And most of the time we don't need some of the things we complain and say we think we have to have, you know. I found out that living on the mission field, you can do without a lot of things that you don't need. And I've found out too, as I get older, I've got a lot of things I don't need. I could go home now and put a lot of things out that I don't really need, you know. But when I got it, I thought I had to have it, and I thought I needed it. But you know, as you get older and you don't have the time to take care of it, you don't feel like taking care of it, and then you find out that you could do without it most of the time. So these are just some things that some blessings in the ministry that I have enjoyed. I've enjoyed the peace that God gives me. I've enjoyed the presence of knowing God is always there whenever we have a problem or a need. Now, for Him to be there all the time, we need to have that daily walk with Him, don't we? I mean, sometimes we just put Him aside for a few days and we don't talk to Him or read the Word. But then when we have an emergency, you know, we're right down there calling on Him, aren't we? But to be sure that He's going to be there, we need to be daily in the Word and daily doing what He wants us to do with our lives. And then the blessings of soul winning, having converts, people saved when you go out. And then the blessings of God's provision every day. And then the blessings of seeing your children, not only your children in your home, but the children of your members of your church that God will call out and use to be involved in the ministry. The past 56 years have provided many and varied experiences. There have been many blessings, and I believe there are many more to come in the future. And then, thank God, eternity will be soon, maybe. And we can live forever with the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4:6-8 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing." The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, such a wonderful life that Paul lived, and he gave all. He fought daily to do what God wanted him to do. But he knew that in the end that he was going to get that eternal rest and those blessings that were laid up for him, that crown of righteousness. So let's each of us today determine in our hearts that we're going to do all we can to be as much involved in the ministry as possible. That we can say with Paul, one of these days we'll receive that crown of righteousness, not for ourselves, but that we can give it back to the Lord because of what He's done for us, for His dying on the cross and for saving us and for the love that He has showed to us and has given to us over our years. And I desire your prayers that my husband and I can continue to be involved in ministry. I see him not slowing down anytime in the future. He just keeps going, and I keep trying to keep up, but sometimes I get slowed down. But my desire is that I can be right there with him and be the helpmeet that he needs me to be. And a couple of years ago, I'll tell you this and I'll close. Many of you prayed for me for about 2.5 years ago. I went through a very dark time in my life. I was told I had a brain tumor. So that was a very hard time for us. But through that, God gave us a peace and took the tumor away, and it was not cancerous. So last year when I had an MRI, the doctor said that it was all looked good, there was no new tumors, and that I didn't have to come back for another MRI unless I had problems with my head again or anything like that. So thank you for praying for me and my husband. So when it was all over, well, I guess I had such peace when they come to get me that morning and take me to surgery. I was laying there on the table, and I was about half and half. But there was a peace that came that I can't really describe, but I knew that I was in God's hands, and that also in the hands of that doctor. So I just said, well, Lord, if this is the time, you know, I'm ready. But I said, I don't want to leave my husband because I don't think he can take care of himself. And sure enough, I didn't have to leave him. So after it was all over and a day or two later, I said, well, I'm still your thorn in the flesh. Thank you, and I'm so thankful that God has allowed me a few more years. I don't know how many, but every day is a good day when you can get up and get out of bed. Just keep praying that we'll still be faithful and being able to be used in the ministry that God would have for us. So I would like for us to sing. Courtney, are you in here? Mrs. Howitt, can you lead singing? She's going to pray. Play Count Your Blessings. How many of you know that? Okay, I'm sure. Can you just sing the first verse? I'll sing it with you, but I'm not good, okay?
When upon us billow you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
This was one of the favorite songs in Japan. Kazo ete mio shuno megumi. Count your many blessings. See what God has done.
Oh.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Mrs. Howell. So let's pray. And like the song says, we can count our blessings every day. And they're too many sometimes, aren't they? But thanks be to God who loves us and who is ready to give us blessings. And if we're just ready and willing to be the servant that he wants us to be. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. And I pray, even though I stumbled and stuttered around in some things, that you're able to take what I've said and maybe make it a blessing to these ladies, especially in their ministries. Some are new at it, and some have been at it for several years, and some are getting maybe to that retiring time when they are not going to be as involved as they were right now. And I pray that you would bless each phase of the lives of these ladies as they are their helpmeets to their husbands, and that they're right there with them in the ministry. Help them not to be discouraged and disappointed by things, because that's what the devil would desire, to help to make us be not happy in the ministry, and that way our husbands wouldn't be able to do what they should or what you want them to do. So I pray that you would bless them and help them in each and every situation. Thank you for this time. Thank you for loving us and for saving us and for giving us this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.